This message is on the winning attitude of a positive self-image. The theme is from Napoleon's quote, "Imagination rules the world," and from Albert Einstein, who said, "Imagination is everything. It is the preview of life's coming attractions." The theme of this message is, "Your imagination is your world." All winners in life develop and actively think about a positive self-image. Winners see the act of winning before it ever happens. Winners act like winners, imagining with pictures, feelings, and words the roles they want to play. They give themselves a preview of coming attractions. What you see is what you get, and who you feel is who you really are. It is not what you are that holds you back. It's what you think you are not. And let me repeat that. It is not what you are that holds you back. It's what you think you are not. You see, individuals behave not in accordance with reality, but in accordance with their perception of reality. And how the individual feels about himself or herself is everything, for all that he or she ever does or ever aspires to do in life will be based upon that all-important self-concept. In my opinion, the self-image is the fundamental key to understanding all of human behavior. If you change the self-image, you change the personality and the behavior. Dr. Maxwell Maltz, the great plastic surgeon and author of bestseller Psycho-Cybernetics, has said that the most important psychological discovery of this century is the discovery of the self-image, and I think he's right. Dr. Maltz refers to one of his patients who had come to him with a pronounced, unattractive hook nose, and whom he altered to have a facial appearance not unlike Eva Gabor, with a perfectly shaped nose. Removing the bandages in front of a mirror, Dr. Maltz happily queried, "How do you like your new beautiful self?" She replied coldly, "You know, I don't see much improvement. I still feel ugly." Another dramatic illustration for me of the tenacity of this time-grown self-image was in my own study of amputees returning from Vietnam at the Walter Reed Medical Center in Washington. In reality, physically and consciously at the judgment level of thinking, the limbs were gone. But for several weeks, sometimes even longer, the patient would experience pain and itching or tingling in hands or feet that were no longer there. And during the night, some would try to get out of bed and walk, only realizing after they had fallen that they were legless. The image lingered on long after the reality was changed. Each of us from childhood weaves our own web of self-images out of the beliefs born in response to every thought and experience, every humiliation and triumph, every loss and every win. Children's self-images are especially pliable and susceptible to external guidance. Young students who are treated as though they are mentally slow by their teachers and by their parents will assume that they are indeed inferior to normal children. We have developed a self-image concerning every talent, every characteristic, every performance. You know, I'm a lousy cook. I can't boil an egg. I'm a good dancer. I have a great sense of humor. No, not me. I have a terrible memory. I can sense a good business deal. I'm a sensitive, warm person. Not me. I'm never on time. A woman's place is in the home. Men fight, women wait. I'm a true Leo. I'm a born loser. Each of us is controlled by these mental pictures that we've formed. We cannot outgrow these limits that we place on ourselves. We can only set new limits within which we must live. And let me repeat this. We can never outgrow the limits that we place on ourselves. We can only set new limits within which we must live. Our self-image determines the kind and scope of person we are in every walk of life. It is our life-controlling mechanism. Our self-image dwells at the subconscious level of thinking. Although the term subconscious mind has been used loosely, it's probably more accurate to think of it not as a mind at all, but rather a mechanism or ability of the mind. Let's imagine two levels of thinking, as the judge and the robot. The judge is the conscious level of thinking, responsible for collecting information from the environment, storing it in the memory bank, and making rational decisions. And the robot is the subconscious level of thinking, responsible for autonomic body control, such as breathing and heartbeat, the storage of information in the so-called memory bank, and goal seeking. Each of these functions can be compared to a robot autopilot. And as we know, autopilots are devices which can be programmed to seek a target, such as the torpedo and the ballistic missile. They're guided by highly sophisticated electronic systems that seek the target unerringly through the use of feedback. The human brain operates in much the same way, but is far more marvelous and complex than any system man could ever invent. Let's look at their relationship. The judge can't make a decision until clearing it with the robot. The robot checks its memory bank, which includes the self-image, and then relays available data back to the judge for action. It would seem natural that your judge would control your robot in a master-slave relationship. Incredibly, just the reverse is true. The subconscious robot controls the conscious judge level of thinking. Action frequently takes place without consultation with the judge, but no action ever takes place without reference to the robot. The information that's fed into your robot's memory bank stays there. The billions of separate items of input over a lifetime are all there awaiting retrieval. In other words, they can never be willfully erased by you. Brain surgery conducted by doctors Penfield and Roberts at the Montreal Neurological Institute has supported this premise. When brain cells were stimulated with an electrode, patients reported the sensation of reliving scenes from the past. The recall was so vivid that all details were present, including repetition of sounds, colors, and odors. Not just remembering, but actually reliving the experiences. Every moment of every day, we program our robot self-image to work for us or against us. Since it's only a mechanism having no judging function, it strives to meet the objectives and goals that we set before it, whether positive or negative, true or false, right or wrong, dangerous or non-dangerous. Its sole function is to follow instructions based upon previous inputs, like a computer reading its tape and responding automatically. Behavioral psychologists agree that your subconscious robot self-image is not capable of distinguishing between actual experience and that which you have vividly imagined. It stores emotional fantasies as your own reality. Therefore, you are full of Easter bunnies, the world is flatisms, prejudices, fears, old wives' tales, and realities, in quote, which just are not true. Many of your everyday decisions are based upon information about yourself, which has been stored as truth, but is just a figment of your own imagination, shaded by your environment. You know, a little grammar school girl has described this process which shapes the self-image perhaps as clearly as any psychologist could in her little poem fashioned after my shadow, and it's simply called My Robot. I have a little robot that goes around with me. I tell him what I'm thinking. I tell him what I see. I tell my little robot all my hopes and fears. He listens and remembers all my joys and tears. At first, my little robot followed my command, but after years of training, he's gotten out of hand. He doesn't care what's right or wrong, or what is false or true. No matter what I try now, he tells me what to do. You are a slave to your subconscious robot, which houses your all-important self-image. If you try to make a change in yourself at the conscious judge level by using willpower, the change usually will be only temporary. Whenever your judge and robot come in conflict, the robot always stands the best chance of winning, unless your fear or desire are strong enough to override it. Any permanent change in your personality or behavior should first involve a change in your self-image, and then your behavior will automatically follow. Your behavior, personality, or achievement level is usually consistent with your self-image. It operates the way a thermostat controls the temperature in a building. You set the thermostat at 72, which is comfortable for you. When the temperature gets below the setting, the thermostat automatically triggers on the heat until 72 is reached again. If the temperature gets too high, on comes the air conditioning system, automatically to cool you down until the temperature reaches a comfortable 72 again. And so it is with the self-image and achievement. If you perform below your self-image level, you'll adjust up next time. Perform too well or too high above your self-image, and tension will automatically get you back down where you think you belong. A golfer's handicap makes a good illustration. You see yourself after so many rounds as a lifetime 18 handicap because you shoot consistently in the high 90s. One day you don't pay much attention to yourself, and you shoot a fantastic 38 on the front nine. But that's not like you. You're playing over your head. Considering your known handicap and self-image as a golfer, what do you do on the back nine? You're right. You adjust with a hazard-seeking ball and a sand-seeking ball. You get back to being yourself quick. The tension finally goes away with a comfortable 55 on the back nine, just about right on your own self-image handicap. Let me ask you something. Do you view your self-image as your life handicap, or is it your achievement mechanism? Are you a lifetime slave to your robot? Well, you can't escape from your self-image. You can cop out with alcohol or drugs or mental depression. The losers in life take this trip every day. You can even go all the way and forget the whole thing with amnesia. But the winners in life, the total winners, control the setting and they change it as they desire. They elevate their self-image and enlarge their universe. Winners dwell on and hold the self-image of that person they would most like to become. Winners dwell on and hold the self-image of that person they would most like to become. And they get a vivid, clear, emotional, sensory picture of themselves as if they had already achieved their new role in life. Like children playing Let's Pretend, they play the role of whomever they want to be. They know their little robots can't tell the difference between the real me and the one I see. They see themselves standing in the winner's circle, and they can feel the solid gold weight around their neck. They hear the approval of the crowd. They smell the roses in the Rose Bowl. They touch the diploma in their hand. They know the self-esteem of their personal achievement, however lofty or humble, in advance. Because winners feel like winners. And winners see through the eyes of winners. What do you see for you today? Who will you be tomorrow? Think win with a positive self-image. Here are some personal exercises in building a more positive self-image. Number one, set aside 20 to 30 minutes a day, whether commuting to and from your place of business, at lunch, in the morning, or the evening. And as you relax during this time, imagine yourself achieving and enjoying your most important creative personal desires, as if you were previewing three television shorts. Picture one sequence achieving a professional triumph, maybe an award ceremony or a promotion or a bonus. Picture another scene involving family happiness, maybe a trip abroad or a special reunion. And still another in which you alone are relishing a personal victory, possibly a club tennis or a golf championship. And get the actual sensation and the vivid image of each event and how good it feels to experience each one. Next, try reading one biography every month of someone who has reached the top in your profession or in your major hobby or just someone whom you've admired throughout your life. And as you read, imagine yourself as that person that you're reading about. And number three, while you're relaxing and reading and relaxing and visualizing your own imagined triumphs, try listening to some quiet mood music in the background. The process of relaxing plus the music will open the subjective window in your subconscious level of thinking and will probably make you more receptive to your own creative images. Remember, your subconscious robot accepts as fact that which you vividly imagine. Your creative imagination rules your world, and the development of a positive self-image is one of the most important steps to becoming a total winner.